Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also, great savings on runners and leisure wear, in store and online.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we've got a bit of a motorsports special. We'll be hearing from Kyle McBride and Eamon Kelly. Both are about to embark on their respective European and World Rally Championship campaigns this year. We'll also be hearing from former Donegal player, 2012 All-Ireland winner Eamon McGee. He will be joining us to look ahead to the Donegal Division 2 league opener against Cork and indeed the campaigns for Derry and Tyrone as well. But we start with the 48th edition of the Donegal Sports Star Awards, which are taking place in the Mount Errigal Hotel tomorrow night, Friday. It's going to be a full house. The committee are just crossing the T's and dotting the I's as they go through their final preparations ahead of the big event, where there will be over 40 category winners, and of course the overall sports star of the year will be announced as well. It's due to get underway at 7 o'clock sharp, so guests are being asked to be there early by 6:30 tomorrow, Friday, with the first of the presentations getting underway at 7 o'clock. Earlier today, I spoke to Declan Kerr, committee member of the Sports Star Awards, as we looked forward to what is going to be another bumper night at the ceremony.
So, Declan, it's always good to get you in the studio. Listen, we're talking here just over 24 hours out from the start of the 48th Donegal Sports Star Awards, and no big surprise that that was an easy enough sell. Huge interest once again, Declan.
Yeah, massive interest, Oisin, from the nominees. The list of nominees was released at the beginning of the month. Within a week, I think we were putting out notices asking people to get their tickets, buy their tickets, because they were rapidly selling out. And then just at the weekend there, we had to put out the notice that it's actually a sellout. So we're around about 600 people will be at the event on Friday night, and a huge amount of work has gone on in the last week trying to satisfy the demand in terms of people that were looking to go, and nominees and that sort of stuff. So a lot of work done by our committee members, Neil Martin, Bartley McGlynn and Paul McDade, in terms of sorting that out. But so, listen, we are at a good point now, and it's all systems go, and we're looking forward to another big night tomorrow night.
Yeah. And listen, Declan, it's one thing sorting the tickets, but it's another thing sorting the actual winners, because there's over 160 nominations were received by the committee that you just have to throw through, and you just have to pick various category winners. There's an extremely large amount of work on that.
Huge amount of work, Oisin, over the last 3 or 4 weeks. A number of meetings had to take place to decide the categories, and maybe some categories were easy enough to decide, but certainly there was a lot of them that were quite difficult and were very close decisions in the end. But I think we've got it right. We do a lot of research in terms of the achievements, and we keep an eye on the, as you know yourself, during the year, in terms of the people, the teams and the clubs and the individuals that are performing. So we are usually in a good place in that, and we have a good committee there, then a good spread of people from different sports. And so we have all the decisions made now, Oisin. So listen, hopefully everybody's happy tomorrow night. Maybe some won't, but listen, we've done our best.
Yeah. Do you just go into hiding for a couple of days? Because I'm sure everybody meets you in the street, Declan, and they're wondering who's going to be the overall winner, or who's won this category, or who's won that category. Because you're telling me nothing today.
That's right. Yeah, we had a conversation off there before we come on, so I wasn't giving anything away, so I'm not going to give anything away now. But yes, listen, people are intrigued, and people would like to know, and people have different circumstances in terms of things coming up this weekend and that sort of stuff. But I mean, the policy of the committee is that the nominees, in fairness to all the nominees, the winners are only announced on the night.
Yeah.
And we're sticking to that.
Yeah, and that's the way it's been for years. Yeah. But there is three people that know they're getting an award. We heard from them last week on Sunday Sport, Tom Conaghan. How big a job was that to pick the Hall of Famer this year?
Well, it was a big enough job. We would have had a few names there, or a number of names. There's always names every year in terms of the Hall of Fame. And listen, there's a list. There's always people that are in that category that have done a lot for sport, whatever sport it is, it's this year's GAA. So, but Tom Conan was the unanimous decision of the committee. And I've talking to Tom since, I mean, he's telling me that the amount of messages of congratulations, he's been inundated and he's over the moon and he's really honoured and looking forward to it. And it's a very fitting award for a man that done a lot for Donegal GAA in the 1980s with that first adult under 21 All-Ireland title in 1982 and bringing four masters to their first ever senior club title in the same year. And then in 1988, bringing Donegal to Division 1 for the first time ever. So listen, Tom Conahan deserves a lot of credit. He set the foundations for maybe the future successes at All-Ireland senior level in 1992 because a number of the players from 82 were on that 92 team. So listen, Tom Conahan, a gentleman, and of course has gone into politics in more recent years. He's done a lot for the community as well.
Yeah, and it's fitting awards for those that won in their categories because it's something that the athlete or the teams or the coach or the manager, whoever it is, wins it. It's a valued award. It's something that the treasurer, so it is.
It is, and you know, funny when you talk about that, we had the 40, you know, the anniversary event there for the winners of 1983 there at the beginning of the month when we're doing the launch. And those people, you know, sometimes they say maybe in the year that they actually won it, they don't recognise maybe, but it's years later and that they know that it's a very important thing and a very treasured trophy to have in the cabinet. And listen, when you achieve in any year in Donegal sport and you recognise, that's special.
And as we know, Joe Barr's getting an award, and also Bea Grimberg for surfing is going to get an award. So along with Tom, they are the other two that know that they will be a recipient of the award. Jim McGuinness is back. Listen, he won the Manager of the Year. Mm. When they won the All-Ireland 2012, he was Donegal obviously got the team of the year that year as well. But Jim's a former winner in 1999. He led Tralee to a Sigerson Cup and he won the GAA award. So somebody out there, maybe this year, will be getting an award, and down the line in a number of years' time, they could be back as a special guest, like what Shea Given was as well the previous year.
Absolutely. I mean, Shea and Jim, you know, are in the same boat. Shea was a previous winner as well. So I suppose when they're winning an award back, when Jim was winning an award back in 1999 or maybe even in 2012, did he ever think he would be actually the special guest? Probably not. But I mean, listen, that's what happens. And Shea was the same last year. And Shea last year, I mean, it was great to have him there because he was very appreciative because, I mean, obviously been away for so long and not being able to get back to sports star events or anything else, to be there that night was great for him. And listen, it's great for Jim too. And listen, just ahead of Sunday's big opener against Cork, we'll have a few words with him to see what he's going to say about the Lee Siders.
Yeah, well, you were lucky enough to get him.
Well, we were. Yeah. Listen, it wasn't easy. A few of the committee members met him and spoke to him and persuaded him. And listen, it wasn't easy because he had taken on the Donegal job at that stage. And we can appreciate that the amount of time that he has is scarce, you know. But so anyway, he's with us tomorrow night, and his wife Yvonne will be there as well. So it's great to have him.
Yeah. And he'll be an inspiration to people within the room. And there's no doubt, particularly the younger generation of athletes and those that are involved in school categories, they can take a lot from what Jim McGuinness will be telling them tomorrow night.
Well, Jim is an inspirational figure, and I mean, he speaks very well. He delivers a message very well. So listen, the youngsters and the younger people that's their younger nominees that are there tomorrow night will certainly sit up and listen, and they should listen because Jim McGuinness has been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And I know, Declan, speaking to you regular, even though the event's tomorrow night, the work for next year's awards, because you have to keep tabs on everything that's happening already. There's a lot happening in the month of January 2024. There's really no downtime in this, so there's not.
Not really, no, because if you want to keep on top of the people that are achieving or having successes, I mean, that's already started this month, Oisin, as you know, and we'll be keeping track of that, and you'll be keeping track of that. And listen, that's the way it goes for sports. There is no break.
Yeah. Well, listen, all we can do is wish you and the committee all the very best of luck with the 40th Donegal Sports Star Awards tomorrow night. Declan, have a good night.
Thanks, Oisin.
That's Declan Kerr of the Donegal Sports Star Awards, and we wish everybody involved and all the nominees the very best of luck for that event tomorrow night. So then, the Alliance National Football Leagues in the Gaelic Games world get up and running this weekend for the three Northwest counties. Donegal, of course, are taking on Cork on Sunday at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. There's a 1:45 start to that game, and we will, of course, have full live match commentary here on Highland. Elsewhere in Division 1, Derry are starting the new league campaign They've made the long trip south into the province of Munster, where, of course, they will take on Kerry on Saturday evening. Tyrone then are playing Roscommon in Division 1 on Sunday afternoon at Hayley Park in Omagh. So, to look forward to the league, earlier today I was joined by the former Donegal player and 2012 All-Ireland winner, Eamon McGee.
Good man, Oisin. Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, we're getting down to the serious stuff now because the league's starting on Sunday against Cork. Before we look at that game, how would you assess the McKenna Cup? Will Jim McGuinness be happy with how the team performed and the work that was done over the course of those four games?
I think from the outside looking in, I would assume he'd be happy with where what he's learned from a squad. I don't think he would have set out at the start of the year, listen, we'll go out and win a McKenna Cup here. So he'd not be overly disappointed when you see the personnel that were on the McKenna Cup final against Derry there. So he'll have learned enough about his squad. He'll have got work in. As it says, I was listening to Jim talking on Devaney's program on Monday night there, and he says they trailed a good few things and they'll probably narrow that focus down to two or three things during the league. So he'll have learned plenty about that group because that's a new group to, that's a new group to Jim, so he'll be happy coming out of it.
Yeah, he said to Brendan as well during that interview, the Donegal's third tier. Would you agree with that? Would you?
Yeah, I listened. I was actually interested in to hear, and the reality of it is, you know, we're sitting in Division Two, had a terrible year last year, and it backs it up. The facts back up what Jim's saying in terms of, you know. I would probably say we're at the bottom of tier two, maybe shifting in if we continue the slide we're on, shifting into tier three. But you know, the thing about it is we still have the quality to move up and to get in around that bracket where the likes of a Tyrone or Derry are sitting. I always believe that, you know, we have the players and we'll produce the players. It's just getting them on the one wavelength to compete.
Donegal have four home games out of their seven, which is favourable in Division 2. Won all those four matches, you're in with a shout, obviously. But is it key for the progression of this group and maybe to go up a tier, Eamon, that they get promotion out of Division 2?
If you asked me that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, before the split season, I would have said it's definitely Division 1 is the place you go. But we've seen last year in the first season of the split season, Dublin have went on and won the All-Ireland, where they've timed it right. And although they have Leinster and they can have the luxury of that there, we can still move towards looking at the All-Ireland series and maybe getting some, because that's where we've fallen down this last few years. So it's really about getting that balance. Do you really have to be in Division 2 to perform in the All-Ireland series? And that's what it's all about. Do you have to be in Division 1 or Division 2? So we'll see. And Jim and Colm and Neil and the lads will make that decision, or will have made that decision fairly early on in the season.
Ulster Championship or All-Ireland series, Eamon?
Probably one of the few times I've disagreed with Jim now is that he still places an emphasis on the provincial, just listening the last day, the provincial championships. And for me, it's all about the All-Ireland series. I don't believe the provincials carry the same weight. And I get where Jim's coming from because we all strived and we all, you know, really worked hard to get there, to get back to the top of the pile in Ulster. But that's not where it's at anymore. And I think it's not fair in teams that you have a head start based on your geographical location in Ireland. And that's the reality for someone and for players in Dublin, for the players in Kerry, that they immediately go into the All-Ireland series with a head start because of where they're from. And I don't believe that that's fair. And I think we should move on past them and still keep them in the calendar, but don't link them to the All-Ireland series. But for me, to answer your question, the All-Ireland series is where it's at. We haven't got the semi-final. Haven't got a final since 2014. So that's where we need to be. And once you're in and around the conversation and the semi-finals, that's when you can, you know, we talk about the tiers. That's when you're in the top tier and you know you're in amongst the big boys.
Yeah. Well, as we prepare for Ulster against Derry in that opener towards the end of April, I mean, listen, a good solid league campaign and being contention at the top is without doubt going to be beneficial.
At well, like as long as you're competing, no one's going to go out and say, listen, we're just going to treat the league with total disdain. It's just about how you, the atmosphere you create and the environment you create. And, you know, by all accounts, Dublin timed it well. You know, they didn't go too full on until the right season, and then they knew the right time to kick on. And that's what I'd say Donegal will, they'll know there's enough in that squad, enough quality in that squad to get to Division One. Whether how much they bring out of the group is the question. Do you save a wee bit for later on in the year, or do you just go all out, get to Division One, and maybe plan ahead then for 2025? But you know, we'll look to compete. We'll look to definitely be in the conversation for promotion at the end of the league.
Yeah, well, that starts on Sunday in McCool Park, Donegal against Cork. 1:45 is the start time, full live match commentary here in Highland. Just in relation to the other Northwest counties, Eamon, obviously you keep a close track as what's going on there. And listen, Kerry against Derry, such a big game on Saturday evening to start things off down in Munster.
Ah, yeah, it's a big game, surely. It's a one Mickey Hart and Horst Devlin will look forward to immensely now. I'm looking at the Kerry. There seem to be a few injuries now, and it'll be just interesting to see what the Mahara lads do. Like, do they obviously they're not going to be looking at game time, but do they join up with the group and, you know, lift? They'll get a lift when they eventually do join up with the group. They'll give the squad a good lift, and it'll be just interesting to see how Derry get on down there. I'm predicting a Kerry one because of just where Derry are at the minute, but it's the big game of the weekend, all right?
Is Mickey Hart the right addition to have in Derry if they are going to take the next step instead of becoming All-Ireland semi-finalists to go to the top of the tree?
I think he's a brilliant addition for Derry. Now, you can question the way things went in terms of the conversations he'd had with Loud, looking forward to 2024 and the way he left them. I would imagine there's not a lot of people happy with him down in Loud and around the panel. But for Derry, they'd be delighted to have him because he's a competitor. He knows how to get the best out of lads, and he has a shrewd man and along with him with Devlin. So it's a good addition. It's a great addition for Derry, and it's one that they need someone that's been in the conversation before about All-Irelands. They need to be pushing on now. They've put in their base, they've put in their work with Rory and the lads, and now it's about kicking on and getting over the line and challenging for an All-Ireland. And, you know, there's no better man than Mickey Hart to do that.
Yep. What about Tyrone? Where do you see them that in 2014? It's early stages yet, but they've lost another couple of players in the close season. They tried out a number of young players in the Dr. McKenna Cup. It's very hard to judge Tyrone in a league performance because they could be on the verge of relegation and then they could find themselves in an All-Ireland final. Eamon?
Yeah, the way it is of Tyrone is that they normally give a bad result and then we'll all write them off and say they're finished, and then they turn around and prove us all wrong, and they're just such a hard team to get a judge on now. It's difficult to make a call on them because they've lost a lot of players, yes, and not everything seems to be gelling as well and that camp. But this is from the outside. Maybe this is nonsense, but this is me making a call from the outside now. But they've also won an under-21 All-Ireland Championship. I think it was 2 years ago. So there's players coming through. They've the Canavans, and they have a good group coming through there. So we can say things are going bad now, but there's potential there to maintain what Tyrone are at. So, you know, until we see them throughout the league and maybe even later, we won't know where they're truly at.
How valued do you think the league system is currently, aiming for the likes? Obviously, you mentioned about Donegal, and it's not the be-all and end-all if you're not in Division 1, but do the rest of the big counties still hold it so valuable, the likes of the Kerrys and obviously the Dublins, and then you can add in maybe the Armaghs in Division 2, not forgetting Galway and Mayo as well. Is it still a valued competition?
It's our best competition now, but in terms of preparation for the All-Ireland, I don't know enough about it. We're going off one season from last year. The split season has changed the dynamic so much in terms of the season is now so condensed to realise when the league finishes up, you're straight into championship. You don't have that block now that you can maybe tinker and with certain aspects of your game plan, you can do a block of conditioning where you can just really, really go at it. You don't have that anymore. So I would imagine that the league will have a different focus for many teams. I think what we'll eventually learn going forward is it's not the be end and be all, is that you don't have to be in Division 1. As long as you're up about Division 1, Division 2, you're in that All-Ireland series for later in the year, that's when it matters, and that's when teams will be prepping their panels for.
Yeah, just finally then, do you expect Donegal to beat Cork on Sunday in Balbuffet?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things Jim will quietly be hoping not come out and say it publicly now, but I think the Balbuffet record is something that he'll want to get back. You know, I think that's something that's really, really important, that teams fear coming to Balbuffet. And it's something that we should be, any game that we should be going out to go all out to win it. And I think Donegal will have enough about them to do that on Sunday.
Okay. Eamon McGee, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the Score.
Cheers, Oisin.
That's Eamon McGee talking Gaelic football here on Highland on the Score. Elsewhere, Donegal Ladies are back in action on Sunday afternoon at the Donal Park in Letterkenny. They're taking on Kildare. They're expecting a tougher test in this game to what was presented last week in that one on the road away to Laois. It's a second game in Division 2. Donegal looking to make it back-to-back wins under new manager John McNulty. There's a 12-noon start to that game at the Donal Park in Letterkenny, and Maureen O'Donnell will be watching the action there for us on Sunday. And you heard Eamon obviously mention Brendan Devaney's DL debate programme from earlier in the week. That show is available now to listen back to in the playback section off our website, HighlandRadio.com. As main guest, of course, this week was Donegal manager Jim McGuinness. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we return here on The Score, we'll be talking rallying.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also, great savings on runners and leisure wear, in-store and online.
Welcome back to The Score. We turn our attention to motorsport. And coming up shortly, we'll be hearing from Eamon Kelly, who will be starting a new campaign in the Junior World Rally Championship next month in Sweden. But first, Donegal Rally driver Kyle McBride is set to compete in the Junior European Rally Championship this year. The Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy member has acquired a Peugeot 208 Rally 4 for the six-round campaign, which starts at Rally Hungary in April. The 20-year-old is keen to build on his progress after finishing a close second in last year's Junior British Rally Championship and only his second year in Rally 4 machinery. Kyle has been telling Highland's Chris Ashmore there's exciting times ahead, and he's hopeful of finalising a package which will allow him to do all six rounds.
Yeah, it's certainly very, very interesting to look forward to. Hopefully get the chance to get over to the Junior ERC. Obviously working with the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy. It's kind of their idea to guide me on the correct programme and the correct path to learn as much as I can at a young age in my rallying career. And it's gonna be real interesting for sure.
Now, of course, you are a member of the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, and the car that you're set to use in the Junior European Rally Championship, tell us a little bit about it. It's going to be a Peugeot 208 Rally 4?
Yeah, it's last year I was in a Ford Fiesta Rally 4, and we decided to sell it, and I got my hands on a brand new Peugeot 208 Rally 4, so yeah, it's a 2024 car, brand new out of the box. So I'm really looking forward to getting going at this year. So it's going to be it's a real good car, and I can't wait to start learning the car. And yeah, it's going to be good for sure.
So tell us about your career to date. Back in, 2019, you had that Junior 1000 Forest Rally Championship win, and I suppose that was a major stepping stone to further things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I won the Forest Rally Championship in 2019. And yeah, before that, I actually started competing when I was very young. I was about 12 years old, so... believe it or not, I'm rallying about 8 years now. It feels like a long time because I'm only 20. But no, I started in the Rally Sport Association in Nuts Corner in Ballachelly and Ahiduri back when I was much younger and a bit coarser. And then progressed to J1000s and it was a Toyota Aygo I used. And yeah, I was quite successful in that for a couple of years and then moved up to... Class 16 Honda Civic in 2021 and only did two events in that and yeah, I finished first and second on the two events and we decided it was time to go for a factory bulk car and we moved to F4 Fiesta R2T car for the 2022 season and yeah, it kind of took off from there and we won the Motorsport Ireland Junior Rally Series in 2022 and the Junior Academy Trophy Cup in 2022, and then at the end of 2022, we sold that car and we upgraded to the Rally 4 Fiesta, and we did the full Junior British Rally Championship, and yeah, we came runner-up there at the end of the year, very close on winning it, but unfortunately, we had to settle for second, but yeah, very happy on my first year doing it, to finish second, and yeah, now it's moving up and getting a little bit more interesting, and it's the next big step in my career, so it's to go to Europe now, and hopefully we can get some more sponsors on board to help us get the budget finalised, and hopefully do the full season.
Yeah, indeed, because budget will be a big part of things. So it's a 6-round campaign. So where are the actual events taking place?
Yeah, it's. It's a 6-round campaign, which is a lot because in Europe, it's kind of everywhere. It starts in Hungary in April, so it's really really interesting because all around the country, and Spain and Hungary, and yeah, a few other really interesting places. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Now, you work as a motorsport mechanic, which is perhaps no surprise given your interest in things. So how are you jostling all this together? Because you're going to be certainly a very busy man in the next year.
Yeah, that's it. I am an apprentice motorsport mechanic, and I'm working at it for a good few years now, which is actually very interesting for me because I learn a lot. Obviously, getting to work on motorsport cars and rally cars, it really benefits me to get into depth on how cars work and how to set them up. So it's really, really interesting. And even when my own car breaks down, at a stage, at least I know how to fix it. And it's nice to have that knowledge in the back of my head. And it's really good to have.
Yeah. Now you're based in Carndonagh. Where did your interest in motorsport first begin?
My father, Kieran McBride, he was a big part of it because at a young age, obviously he did it, and then it was just in the family. And then my cousins was also doing it, and my father used to go around following my cousins. So yeah, I just kind of brought up around the sport.
Yeah. Now, what about the co-driver for the Junior European Rally Championship? Everything settled on that front?
Yeah, well, we have a few things to tidy up working with the academy. We tried to help me, obviously, select a co-driver and to see who's the best to take with good experience in Europe. And it's really important to have a good co-driver with you at this level because it's getting to a high level and it's good to have a good lad by my side.
Yeah. So ultimately, the year ahead, you know, it's a giant leap, and all systems go.
Yeah, that's crazy. So hopefully it all falls into place and we can make it happen. It's gonna be interesting with a new car, a new season, new year, and I have a lot to learn. And yeah, if it all falls into place and goes ahead, I'll be really, really looking forward to it. It's great to work with the academy and have a real strong team around me to help and guide me along the way.
Well, we wish you every success and hope you have a great year, Kyle.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
A man with a bright future, that's Kyle McBride, and obviously staying with Motorsport and Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy drivers, Donegal's Eamon Kelly and Monaghan-based co-driver Conor Monaghan, will be amongst what is a record-breaking entry list for this year's Junior World Rally Championship. Kelly, the outgoing Billy Coleman Award Young Driver of the Year winner, returns to the JWRC for a second time and will be on the start line at next month's Rally Sweden. He did, of course, graduate to JWRC in 2023, having claimed the British Rally Championship title. And in his first year at WRC level, he did take a first victory as well, and that came in Croatia. Eamon has been telling Highlands Chris Ashmore that he's looking to build on that achievement in Croatia, and he's buzzing for the competition this year.
To be part of such a stacked field and such a quality field as well, when you look through it, it's it will be some buzz, and there will be so much tight racing, I can imagine. It makes the whole thing really exciting for us and for everybody watching. And it really means that you have to go in like full prep, bring in every bit of your game. So yeah, it'll be super exciting. And having done it last year and knowing what we're up against this year, it makes it a little bit easier. Not that it's any way easy at all, but it definitely means that the back is broken on the whole thing. So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to getting to Sweden again and seeing what we can do there in the opening round.
Yeah, now, just mentioning last year, you had that great success in Croatia. Just remind us again a little bit about that, because that was only your second WRC rally.
That was only our second ever event after Sweden last year, and it was great to come into the second round after having an accident in the first round and a non-finish to go in and win the event. You know, it was such a big thing. You know, I'd never achieved anything of that caliber in my rallying career, you know, till then, and especially given the circumstances, having, you know, Craig Breen passing away the week before, there was a lot of emotions going into the event, and a lot of the Irish crews didn't even know we were going to compete. But it was very, very emotional for a lot of reasons, and that's something that will stand with me forever. But yeah, to get a junior WRC win under the belt, it's something that we'll always be proud of.
So as we look forward to Sweden, tell us a little bit about the lead-in period. How many days in advance do you go out there, and just how many people will be involved in your team?
Yeah, so it's probably a lot more work goes in than people probably think. It's not just driving a car fast. We head out on the Saturday before the rally. The rally will take place from Thursday till Sunday in the second week of February, but we will head out the Saturday before. We'll do a quick test in another Rally 3 Fiesta car, which is what we'll be using in the championship. We'll do that in Finland just to get ourselves prepped and a final little bit of seat time before the event. And then we'll fly from Finland over to Sweden, and we'll have a lot of kind of on a Sunday, Monday, a lot of media activity and also a lot of documentation and stuff like that, and just in general acclimatizing yourself to the area that we're staying in. And then Tuesday, Wednesday we have our recce, so it's where we're going over the stages point to point in just a normal road car, writing all our pace notes. They're very long days, but they're very, very important days. You know, them notes are they're the formula that's going to allow me to try and drive the stages as quickly as possible. So getting them nailed is very, very important. They're very taxing though. You're up very early and you're back home, and then you spend your nights editing the notes further again off the recorded footage on the laptop. So very, very big 2 days. And then you get into your Thursday, where you have your shakedown, which is just a quick run over a short stage to get ready for the first stage on Thursday night. And then, yeah, your action's flat out then Thursday night all the way through till Sunday afternoon. And that's where the racing happens. So it's a long week, a lot packed into it. But it's incredible. It's such a mad circus, but it's unbelievable to be part of it.
Now, you're going to be up against the cream of the world's best up-and-coming young drivers, and you obviously know a fair bit about some of them, but do you explore their strengths much? Do you delve into what they've been doing in the last few months? And, you know, how much do you actually look into how they're getting on, or how much is it just a case of concentrating on yourselves?
Yeah, it's obviously there's a lot of guys there that I'd know. You'd see different people who are coming up through the ranks and coming in from different areas, and you'd have an idea of who's who and who's been doing what. So there's definitely a very, very strong feeling. Of course, you do take a bit of a look to see who you're up against and maybe who's going to be ones to watch in certain rallies, because, you know, when you have a field hailing from five different continents, different drivers are stronger on different surfaces, because we race on snow, tarmac and gravel. So, you know, depending on where you're from and what background you have, you're probably going to be more competitive on a certain surface than others. But, yeah, it's important not to look too far into it. You have to just focus on yourself and do everything to be as fast as you can. You can't control other people. So that's all we've been doing. We've put a lot of work in over the winter months to try and make sure we're coming back a lot stronger this year. And look, that's all I can do. But once I've done that, I'll be happy.
Now, you touched on something there I was going to bring up with you, the different types of surfaces. So we start off Rally Sweden, so that's very much snow and ice. Then we have the tarmac twists of Croatia, gravel in Italy, and Finland and Greece follow that. So such diversity, it will test every little bit of skill that you have. And I suppose in terms of expect the unexpected, you just can't rule anything in or out.
No, there are five very different rallies, five incredible rallies, but thankfully I've done them all last year and I got to experience what they're all like. But yeah, very diverse. It's definitely the way you describe it. But, you know, Sweden is really, really fast. It's actually the fastest rally in the whole WRC calendar in terms of average speed. You know, a lot of big, fast, long straights and long corners. And then you go to Croatia, where it's super committed, but super tough in terms of, you know, being caught out. You're always on the edge of an accident at all times. And I know that sounds a bit bizarre, but that's how it is over there. You're driving on the edge, and then you go to the likes of Sardinia and Greece, where it's very rough, and you have to somewhat manage the car, and a lot of mechanical sympathy comes into play, and sometimes it's not always the fastest crew that win them races. It's the people who can get through with the least issues. So definitely a different strategy. And then Finland, it's just not altogether. It's flat out over big jumps and crests and flowing roads that are super wide. But it's, as you said, it's such a good spot, an unbelievable one at that.
Now, whoever emerges as the champion following the Junior World Rally Championship, the reward for that success is, I believe, an arrive and drive package to contest four European rounds of the World Rally Championships in a Ford Fiesta Rally 2 car. So that is quite a carrot at the end for whoever comes out on top.
Yeah, it's a very good prize. It's a stepping stone into WRC2, which is the highest or second highest level in the world, really, and you're up against some of the best drivers in that category. So, you know, to get a foot in that door, it's amazing. Obviously, we were lucky to see William Crichton from Ireland win that last year, so he'll be contesting in that prize this year, and it'll be exciting to see how he does. But for any young driver, that's the dream, you know, getting into WRC2 and trying to make yourself known to manufacturers, it's the place to be, I suppose. And all in all, just again a crazy experience. But we'll see which one of us gets. But it's certainly a fantastic prize.
And Eamon, being the recipient of the Motorsport Ireland Billy Coleman Award Young Driver of the Year, that was obviously a huge boost for you. And, you know, it just shows how it certainly does help to open many new doors.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This was never really my plan to jump into this level of rallying. But when I won the award, I was encouraged to go this way. And I was also supported to go this way too, which is obviously very important. And along with all my other very, very good sponsors, and, you know, I've been very lucky to receive the support that I have. It's incredible what Motorsport Ireland are doing and encouraging young drivers to sort of prepare themselves for higher levels now at younger ages. You know, only until recently, drivers probably never would have aspired to race outside of Ireland, and now young drivers are looking at a clear pathway of doing that, and it's amazing. You know, you see people 16, 17, 18 years old thinking, how am I going to get to the European Championship, or how am I going to get to the WRC? Only about 5 years ago, I don't think many young drivers were thinking that way. So, yeah, it's a credit to the work Motorsport Ireland have done, and I think it'll produce some fabulous drivers in the future.
I'm speaking with Eamon Kelly from Donegal, who's preparing to take part in the 2024 Junior World Rally Championship. Eamon, naturally enough, in it to win it. The competition's going to be intense. Just how high are you setting the bar?
Well, look, like I said, I've put in as much effort as I can. As a team, we're doing everything to do the best possible. And once I know that I've come into every event and said I couldn't have done much more, you know, I'll be happy. But I would definitely like to be aiming towards the top of the timesheets, you know, aiming for stage wins and being at the sharp end of things. You know, with a field of 19 drivers, if you're anywhere near the top, you know, it's a really, really good sign. And if I can do that, I'll be very happy. And, you know, you can't really focus on just trying to win the event. You have to focus on being fast and win stages, and then the event wins will come. So that's the approach I'm taking. And we'll see what happens. It's a big field, so anything's possible. But like I said, all we can do is our best.
And finally, you obviously have to be in a good physical state to take part in events like this. So outside of the rally car and all the preparation that goes on, what about your own personal training on a physical fitness level?
Yeah, there's a lot to be done. Again, very lucky to have the support of the Motorsport Ireland Academy, because they provide us with training plans and personal trainers, and you know, they're always keeping an eye on you and making sure you're staying consistent. But a lot of cardio work to be done, because the days are so long. As I explained earlier, you know, that from the Tuesday onwards you're kind of flat out every day, and you need to have a fairly good aerobic base to be fit to endure that and not drop the head near the end of the days when it matters. And you're always working on that, and then obviously your upper body fitness is important too. You know, not only are you steering and driving the car, a lot of the times between stages you could be outside working in the car if you've issues or changing wheels and stuff like that. And in some of the hotter rallies in the likes of Sardinia, you're racing in really high temperatures. You know, you have to be fairly fit to deal with all that and jump back in and drive flat out for another 20 or 30K. So, yeah, you're always working on them kind of things. But it's just a matter of, like any sport, once you're consistent and fairly disciplined with your training, it's all good.
That's Eamon Kelly. And we wish Eamon and indeed Ken McBride all the very best of luck this year on their journeys on the world and European stage. Just running through some other fixtures which are happening this weekend locally in soccer. It's part two of the pre-season friendly between Derry City and Finn Harps. The second game between the sides is taking place at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium tomorrow night, Friday the 26th. Kickoff time there is at 7:30. Of course, not last Sunday, but the previous Sunday, the sides played out a 2-2 draw at Finn Park in Ballybuffet as both sides continue to prep for the new campaigns, which is starting next month. Derry actually had a good one away from home during the week as well when they played Glenavon in another challenge game. In the Irish League Championship, the big games for Institute keep coming. They are, of course, the leaders at the top of the table. They take on Ards on Saturday. Institute are 1 point ahead of Dundella, but they have played two games more. But Institute, in recent weeks, of course, have been bulking up their squad as they look to make a return to the top flight of Irish League football. Also this weekend in the Championship, Derrickview are taking on Bangor. And at junior level here in the Northwest, there is, of course, programmes in both the Donegal and the Inishowen Football Leagues. But taking centre stage, there's more cup action because it's quarter-final Sunday in the Ulster Junior Cup. Buncrana Hearts are playing Carndonagh, Cockhill Celtic take on Donegal Town, Fannage United meet Gweedore United, and Glengad are on the road as they head for Letterkenny Rovers. Those games are all scheduled to start on Sunday at 1:30. And rugby fixtures this weekend, Omagh and All-Ireland League Division 2C have a home tie against Bangor. Letterkenny are at home as well in Ulster Championship 2. They welcome Academy to the Dave Gallagher grounds. And Strabane will welcome Lisburn for a home tie in Ulster Championship 3. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Remember, if you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Until the next time, for me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.